Today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus said there are those who believe for a season, but when trials, tribulations, and persecutions arise, they depart from me. Their faith wasn't real. They had belief in God, but they didn't have faith in God. Belief and faith are not the same.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 4 continues his series called The Why Series. As Christians, we all know that the truthful answers are quite hard to come by these days, especially if we're looking anywhere else but in the Bible. Even the answers to the most complex issues of life, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, are found in the pages of Scripture. You know, a lot of world religions have some sort of truth involved with them. But everything about the Bible and Christianity is true. Its promises are true, its history is true, and its claims to know the future are also true. The Bible, even though it has 66 books with 40 different authors, agrees with itself. The Bible, in its truth, has affected nations and cultures, and yet with its transforming power, it speaks directly to us. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Jesus is the only way to God. He is the giver of eternal life when we surrender our lives to Him. Jesus has all the power of heaven and earth at His fingertips, and He wants us to have a personal relationship directly with Him. And now in his message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The psalmist says, "You formed me in my inward parts." He goes on to say, "You covered me in my mother's womb." Isn't that amazing? This is a 3,000-year-old book we're reading right here. Well, we don't know if there's any life that's viable or meaningful in there. Boy, you know, you say that to David 3,000 years ago, he'd have punched it right in the nose. Verse 14, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Self-value, friend, imparted by God. "Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." What does that mean? Every human being understands that there is a responsibility that they have within themselves regarding their Creator. I don't care who you are. I'll prove it to you in a moment. You say, "I don't believe that." Yeah, well, listen. God put it in every human being to be conscious of being responsible for what they do, what they say, and who they are. It's a fact. I don't care what continent you live on, and I don't care what era you grew up in. I don't care what millennia you lived in. So what makes you so sure? Ecclesiastes 3:11. "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put," the word in Hebrew is placed or set or appointed or fixed, "eternity in their hearts." God has put eternity in your heart. I want to shout that just north. I want to shout to, yes, this way, to Hollywood. Hey, knuckleheads, wake up. The reason why your life is so messed up is because you're doing it your way. You're failing to realize that God put eternity in your hearts. And Hollywood says, "More sex, more sex, more sex. We just need more sex, more sex." And for what? Then I'll be satisfied. No, you won't. In fact, you know what? More of that and more of the Coke and more of the drink and more of the, you throw it on there, more of the whatever, whatever it is, whatever the world can conjure up, the more of it causes you to be absolutely not fulfilled, but it will cause you to pursue more of it. It's like somebody walking around with a bucket that's got a hole in it. And they go, 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 and their lives are nothing. And you know, we think they're rich. They don't think they're rich. They don't have enough. They need to get more. Listen, you get on that course and you're gonna be ruined. And think of all the talent. Think of all the gifting. Without God, it's dead. No matter what your pursuit is, without him, it's dead. Why? Because he has put eternity in your heart. It means that he has placed within you, you know, we've all read it and heard about it, but it's 100% true, that in every human being, it was said a long time ago, there's a Christ-shaped hole in your heart that only Jesus can fill. And it's a fact. Has it happened to you? Do you understand that? It's undeniable. There's that, in fact, from that verse and the truth of that verse comes this pursuit of man, where man says, why am I here? What's the purpose of living? Everyone asks this question. It's a universal question all around the world, because you were created by God. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him. The Bible talks only about Jesus being the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Isn't that narrow? Let's be honest. Isn't that narrow? Man, that's really narrow. That's right. It is so narrow. You have no idea how narrow it is. It's narrow. I want to show you this clip. Guys, can you cue that up? Listen carefully.
Through my cursory review of most religions, it seems like they all have a common thread of answering the question which seems to plague us all, which is what happens to us when we die? It's the one question I think that a lot of us have difficulty with because we cannot answer it. And so it seems like this common thread is it gives us hope for the afterlife, something better than what we have right now. And I feel like a lot of religions, that what they do is they put forth codes or rules of conduct to help us live a good life so that we can achieve this afterlife. And so given this commonality, what makes you believe that Christianity is the correct or right religion?
Okay, guys, can you pause right there? Just pause. Did you hear his question clearly? He's asking... All the religions have a standard, a code, a rule. And he's right, they all do. I looked at this today and I was fascinated because you know what we're looking at? In a way, a modern representation of the rich young ruler. Here's an articulate man who's asking a question. All of these religions are out there. They've got all of the rules and the standards. If he had found satisfaction in any of them, would he even be behind the microphone at this moment? Absolutely not. When you're searching, this is what you do. This man is searching, and he makes what is a fatal mistake. I just hope he doesn't stay in the mistake, and here it is. He's putting Christianity among other religions. You can't do that. I mean, you can do that to your own peril. All religions on earth is man's attempt to gain the approval of God. Every single one of them. Christianity is not a religion. Do you know what? Listen, religion. I'm making a point. Don't laugh. I know prophetically that I will... eat at Wahoo's, black beans, white rice, fish tacos, a minimum of twice a week since 1988. That is called religion. Religion is doing something repetitively. You see? When you do something repetitively regarding a God consciousness or gods, you're just spiritualizing religion. And you are in pursuit of gaining the favor of the gods or God. Christianity is not that. Christianity is a bumbling knucklehead, blind as a bat, spiritually walking around lost and on his or her way to a Christless eternity called hell. God taps them on the heart, taps them on the shoulder and says, psst, I'm thinking about you. and I want to get your attention. He reaches down. When Peter, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down, and there's the sound and there's the noise and everybody comes running to see what's going on. And the Bible tells us somehow there must have been some shift, some movement to the outdoors. They go from that event to the Holy Spirit coming, and the crowd is assembled, and Peter speaks now to the multitudes, and he's giving them the gospel. And the Bible tells us that when he speaks to them, the people are cut to their heart with conviction, and they say to him, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter says, "Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Years later, Paul the Apostle, he's in Greece, and he's waiting for the ministry team to arrive. He's ahead of them, so he's waiting. He's got a few days to kill. And he's walking around, and he's walking there at the Acropolis. And one of the greatest archaeological sites to visit in the world today, spectacular. And he's walking and he's looking and he sees the Greeks were very religious. And down the aisle, imagine the main agora is the name of it. Down the main street, they had pillars, pedestals, and on each pedestal, there's all the Greek and Roman gods represented, and you could pay homage. Sometimes you've seen icons or things, or perhaps places even where there must have been a death along the roadway, and people put flowers and teddy bears and trinkets. They would do the same thing in Greece and in the Roman world, in the Greco-Roman world, and they would go and they would leave these wreaths or these laurels at the base of Zeus or Titan or Athena, and Paul's walking up and down, and there's one pedestal with nothing on it, and it says to the unknown God, because the Greeks were paranoid about missing out on representing a God that could become offended and angry and then ruin their crops or ruin their economy. So to cover all their bases, this is called pantheism. Let's cover it all. Somebody who's a pantheist will say, "I believe all roads lead to God." That is an actual fact statement. That is true. All roads do lead to God because everybody must stand before God in judgment. There's only one road that leads past that judgment into heaven, and that's Christ. And a Christian is someone who follows Christ. If you have attended this church longer than a week or two, you've not been asked to join, have you? We've not asked for your money. We've not asked for your blood, sweat, and tears. All of that is between you and God. We'll point you to Jesus. Paul saw the pedestal of the unknown God, and Paul there stood and said, "See this one? See this one right here? This is the one I came here to talk to you about." And he used it to preach the gospel. Why? Paul used to be a Christian killer. Paul was ISIS of the day. No joke. He would hunt down Christians with religious clearance to do it. He would hunt Christians down, have them marked, tagged, mutilated, killed, separated, enslaved. That's what he did. And he loved it. He said he loved it. But then he hears the gospel. Jesus meets him he's on his way to Damascus to arrest and kill Christians. And Jesus, like I said earlier, tapped him on the shoulder, so to speak, and said, "I'm thinking about you, Paul." And Paul's response was, "Who are you, Lord?" You see that "Who are you, Lord?" and that pedestal that he would see in Athens some years later would connect. "Who are you?" Jesus responds, "I am Jesus. Why are you persecuting me?" Isn't that amazing? Jesus took the persecution of his church personally. The point tonight is this. Have you been transformed? Do you have a witness as a Christian? Do you have a witness? Can you tell? Please listen. This, I am not saying this to upset you. I'm not saying this to bother you. This is critical. This is what I'm going to say to you in a moment. It, with mere human lips, will someday be communicated to you by the mind, or by the mouth of God. It's this: what do you say about my son? How has my son transformed your life? And tonight, that's the question. Can you say honestly, looking as though it were God in the face, this is how my life was transformed? This is what you did to me, God. In a human way, we could get a camera and a microphone and we could lock the doors and I could start right over here and say, are you a Christian? In all honesty, this is what I would do. I'd say, are you a Christian? And you'd say, yes. And I'd say, how did you become a Christian? You would have a story to tell, or you would stumble, bumble, fumble, and stutter and not have anything to say. Here's the truth. The Christian has something to say. The person who doesn't know Christ is just saying something. But the Christian who knows Christ has something to say. If this makes you uncomfortable, imagine when God asks you this in person. Tonight's message is designed to have you challenge yourself. If I were to randomly come down into the audience tonight and say, please, I'd be fair, and I'd ask you, do you claim to be a Christian? Yes, I do claim to be a Christian. Then tell us of your conversion experience. Do you have one? Some of you might say, I grew up in a Christian home. I've never not believed in God. Okay, that's fantastic. But was there a time when there was a season, years of rebellion against God? Disobedience to God? And you knew it? Oh, I knew it, all right. Did you make a decision to either stay in that disobedience or come back to God? Oh, I came back to God. Then you have a testimony. You have a testimony. Tell people. You have a testimony. Listen, I'm serious. Pull it out. Work on it. Think about it. Because you have a transformative witness. God will see to it in your life where you live that you will bump into people who that your testimony will affect them. Isn't it interesting? You know what I just said, a truth, because when a man or a woman who's in prison winds up meeting Christ and they get out of prison, where do they wind up going most often once they find Christ? Back into prison, not as a prisoner, but as a visitor. A friend of mine is a renowned special ops warrior, achieved certain rankings in different departments of the military, very rare in history. He's the only guy I know who can walk into the SEALs and speak to them, and the SEALs will listen to him because he's one of them. Then he can turn right around and go down the street or go across the country and walk right up into the Air Force, for example, and he can speak to the special forces of the United States Air Force, and they'll receive him because he's one of them. Are you with me? He can walk right up to Delta Force and say, listen, here's the deal. And they'll listen. But where's he going? He's going to them. That's what God does in the transformation. He takes the old us out of us and puts in us the new us that's him. We have a little bit of time for some questions. And if we have any that are on the screen, or we can put them up. But I don't want you to lose the impact of the thought. Do you have a story to tell? If you don't have a story to tell, you need Jesus Christ. Hi, Pastor Jack. I have a brother who used to show all the signs of being a devout Christian: baptism, witnessing, reading the Bible. After graduating college, he's become a fierce atheist. Is there anything that I can do to help him return to God? Number one thing, air support. You need to go fly over his life and bomb him with prayer. You need to pulverize the forces of darkness that have now bound him. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Pray hard, pray fierce. Secondly, baptism, witnessing, reading the Bible, those are externals. And they're good, but they're externals. Okay, I want to use this opportunity, and it applies, but I want to use this opportunity for us. We have to maintain and nurture a private life with God. I promise you, this person at some point in time began to let his private life go lazy, sloppy. You want to know why? I can prove it. Because when he went to college, college got into him instead of him getting Christ into them. That's what happened. He was hit with questions that he was never prepared to answer. He didn't know the answers to them. So when you step foot on a college campus and they start drilling down on you about the fallacies and the jokes and all the discrepancies in Christianity and all of this stuff, they don't know how to answer. And so when they listen, that moment you cannot answer, you feel so much shame, and then you feel like you failed Jesus, and then that stuff begins to play in your head. And then it's easier for you to even just push away. Listen, I hope this young man turns around. But the answer to this is in Matthew 13. Jesus said, there are those who believe for a season. But when trials, tribulations, and persecutions arise, they depart from me. Their faith wasn't real. They had belief in God, but they didn't have faith in God. Belief and faith are not the same. Belief is like a car that takes you to the destination. The destination is faith. The car is the belief. Get in the car in believing and you get to faith. Everybody believes in something, but has your belief in Jesus taken you to faith in Jesus? Do you really trust him?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio. In his message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 4. We're so glad you joined us today. Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 4 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life. And it's a series that allows us to logically reason together while looking to God for the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, many of Pastor Jack's books that he's recommended these past few months are about how America came to be. September's Book of the Month is no exception. You see, the founding of our country goes beyond the scope of rational explanation. None of her leaders doubted her destiny or the divine power it took in producing and protecting the republic they served. In 1925, President Calvin Coolidge emphasized that America seeks no earthly empire built on blood and force. The legions which she sends forth are not armed with the sword, but with the cross. These are just a few of the powerful insights found in the book The American Miracle, Divine Providence in the Rise of the Republic. It's written by Michael Medved, and many of you are familiar with Medved, a popular radio host and best-selling author who is sure to capture your attention with miracle after miracle that helped shape America's destiny. When millions worry over our nation losing its way, Medved shares dramatic events and lively portraits of unforgettable characters that play an unmistakable role in lifting America to her greatness. The American Miracle, Divine Providence in the Rise of the Republic, is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.